Please be seated. These three readings have so much in them that it would be very enjoyable just to circle up a group of chairs and sit and chat about all of them. You know, that like Naaman, there are things in our past that are so special and so holy we just can't leave them behind. So like the mule loads of dirt, we just take them with us in our memory. And then the gospel, where we're on mission and our presence actually goes ahead of Jesus' presence and brings his presence to people. What an interesting idea. It'd be fun to just chat about all of that. But unfortunately, since lunch is waiting and those chairs have no cushions, I'm just going to take a moment or two to reflect with you about the epistle reading. Not only is it the shortest one, but it's also the one that has had a hold of me all this week. You'll notice in your bulletin that verses 1 through 6 are in the title of the reading, are in parentheses there, second reading, Galatians 6, 1 to 6, which means that in the New Revised Common Lectionary, those verses are optional. We included them for two reasons. First, that's what my sermon's based on. And second, you can't get the rest of the paragraph without the first six verses. Gerhard Ebeling, a German theologian, wrote a wonderful little book about Galatians, and he made a comment on these verses that I want to talk with you about. He said, and I quote, "Those who are on trial are those who have not offended." And if you look at this passage, Paul has not one negative or critical word to say about the person in the community who has failed. What he says is, if anyone is detected in a transgression, that's all he says about that person. The whole paragraph is then addressed to the rest of the congregation. And the word detected, that's a little bit of an interpretation. Literally, it's caught. And it could mean either the community catches them or the situation has caught them. You know, some sin or some failure or some darkness has caught them. Maybe some tragedy. And I would prefer to take it that way. If someone is caught in something, that's all that's said. Notice, Paul doesn't tell us what it might be. So we don't need to make a list of the ways we all get caught in things, because he doesn't. And notice that he doesn't give us a statute of limitations. He doesn't say if it happened within the last 12 months. It could be years ago. And what he does is to say the whole community needs to be careful. Because what we're told to do, first of all, is to remember that we are vulnerable too. Take care that yourselves are not tempted. So someone gets caught in something, they may not completely drop out of church, they come occasionally, but you know they're not as present as they used to be, or maybe they're absent for a long time. And we pray for them, we love them, we seek their restoration, and they come back in the community, then who might be out there the next week needing to be restored? Maybe me. I may be the one who needs you next week if you needed me last week. So take care that you yourselves are not tempted. And the word there is actually a little stronger than that. Look to yourself. Watch out for yourself. That you not be tempted. And then he says, all must test their own work. Isn't it interesting how we do this? We look at someone that we think ought to be doing more. Maybe they've dropped out of church. Maybe something's really horrible in their lives. And we're talking about, well, you know, so-and-so, they should just do such and such. But in this passage, we're told to look at ourselves and to ask ourselves the first question, are you doing your life the way it should be done? are you maintaining your relationship with God? Don't look out at that person and try to fix it in your mind. Let their struggle be a reminder that you need to test yourself. One of my favorite preachers is a man named G.A. Studdard Kennedy. You may never have heard of him. He was an Anglican priest ordained in Worcester, England, 80 years ago, 90 years ago. His focus was on the poor and on the suffering of God. And during World War I, he was a chaplain in the British Army, but he didn't act like most chaplains. G.A. Studdard Kennedy was an asthmatic who actually died of an asthma attack about 10 years after World War I in the prime of his life. He didn't stay back in the trench. He would take a package of Woodbine cigarettes, stick it in his pocket, and crawl out under machine gun fire to the shell holes where wounded soldiers were dying. And he would crawl in the shell holes and give them the cigarette and pray with them and be there while they died. And after the war, the king gave him a medal for it. To me, he's a model for what I'm talking about today. That no one gets left behind. No one gets forgotten. And in one of his books, he made reference in a sermon to a plaque he saw once on the wall of a hotel. The plaque read, "There is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it ill behooves the best of us to talk about the rest of us." So what are we being told to do here? We're being told that first of all, we look at this person who is caught. Whether they're coming to church occasionally or not, they're caught in something. It may be whatever the tragedy may be, or the illness, or the evil, or whatever, the addiction, whatever it is. And we are to bear their burden. What a new approach to that idea. That someone else's struggle, someone else's failure, someone else's travail becomes a weight on the heart of the community. Not in a bad way, but in a compassionate way. You know, we bear that burden so that they don't bear it alone. And in so doing, we'll fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we don't know what he meant by that. He didn't explain it. But we know what Christ has done for us, and he bears our burden continually out of compassion. And we're told to do the same. And then we're told to try to restore that person. Now, the word for restore is a wonderful word. It can be used for putting something back, like a shoulder out of joint, putting it back in place, so that we understand that we've lost something precious. Somebody that we love isn't here with us right now. And we can't rest because of that. We've been diminished by their absence. Some of you know that on my first Sunday here, I wore this stole that was made for me by the members of All Souls in secret before I left and was given to me on my last Sunday. And you can see the interconnectedness of the vine and the leaves, which are the thumbprints of parishioners, and the little pink flowers, which are the thumbprints of children, and how that speaks to the connection that we share in this community. And how brokenhearted we all need to be if one thumbprint falls off the vine. And we do this in the spirit of gentleness. How is that person going to know that we miss them, that we treasure them, and that it doesn't matter what's wrong in their lives or what's gone wrong? How are they going to know? because we go tell them. In the spirit of gentleness. You see, we have to watch out for ego, because Paul says those who are nothing, if they think there's something, they deceive themselves. So the moment we begin to feel a least bit superior to someone, we have betrayed our pride and our ego, and that we've forgotten that we're just as vulnerable as they are, and that our pride proves it. Spirit of gentleness. You see, otherwise, we're going to do more damage to the community than the person who left. Right? So, we are told in the spirit of gentleness not to let that person forget how absolutely precious they are and how diminished we are until they come back. So, can you see the faces of some people you should be praying for today? Remember, I'm your interim rector. I'm getting to know names and faces. I don't know who disappeared 5 years ago. You do, right? So, pray for them. Communicate with them. And invite me in. I'll pray with you. And if you think it'll help, I'll go see them. Or write them a note. Or do something. So that they can be restored. Dorothy Day was a Roman Catholic woman who became a hero, basically, working among the poor in New York. And she wrote a book about her life called The Long Loneliness, and I leave you with this thought from her. We cannot love God unless we love each other. We know God in the breaking of bread, and we know each other in the breaking of bread, and we are not alone anymore. Heaven is a banquet, and life is a banquet too, even with a crust where there is companionship. We have all known loneliness, and we have learned that the only solution is love, and that love comes through community. Amen.